Hey, Corey, what are you doing?
Oh, just trying to look up some news and stories on my phone. But there's so many sites I need to go to. It's just so flinging time-consuming.
I know what you mean. With so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired. And that's Flipboard.
Flipboard?
Yes, Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7.
Wow. But can I share the stories I find?
You sure can, Corey. When you see stories that you want to save or share, tap the plus button to add them to your private or public collection. It's that simple.
It sure sounds it. Now I can read news every day.
Used by millions of people every day, Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. Get started now at flipboard.com or download the app from the App Store or Google Play.
Partner is on assignment,
working this evening, so he is not here. All right, so Shell, you're away this weekend. How was the relaxation?
It was incredible. Lots of beaching and lots of sun and sand and a very necessary break from just life in general, which was awesome.
You were gone, was it Friday?
Saturday. Yeah, Friday. Nah, I don't know. I can't remember. It was so long ago.
Just got back two days ago.
Yeah, well, the last 2 days have been, well, we don't need to talk about work.
No, we do now. Don't be so vague.
It's just been, I wish I was back on the beach. That's all.
Life's a beach.
Life is a beach.
That's why they have those on those mugs. Yeah. You get a commemorative Life's a Beach mug, so every time you take a sip, you can think of the beach and then how life is.
I do have my generic beach-going shirt that has the sand and the water and a palm tree, and it says, "Beach, please." So that's my...
Oh, that's my idea. It's like a pun.
Right? Because beach.
Right. Sounds a lot like... Sneech,
you know, the other one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Please.
Well, it's more fun than I had when I was sitting there playing with the baby and politely told that it looks like my hair's thinning.
Nice. That's
what you want to hear.
Yeah, that's a good comment. Constructive compliment. That's what we'll call
that. Or stepping on the scale and seeing 175.
When you're... I don't have anything.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I'm not wearing the shirt.
Like you have to do it after or be after you take the wet clothes off.
That or the holiday weight.
Oh yeah, you gotta account for the holiday weight.
Still carrying that a little bit. But yeah, so there was that. And then the only positive side is when Summer was gone on Thursday up to see Grandma and Grandpa, she came back with old Animaniacs toys.
Yes.
So awesome. Then she's been wanting to watch that. So having kids is the best excuse to watch old cartoons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I figure that was, 93 to 98? So that's over 20 years ago.
Yep. So right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel that much older. And no, it doesn't hold up, but still, it's still entertaining. No.
I've watched a few things that I used to think was really good and just doesn't hold up anymore. The most recent attempt or the most recent thing that I went to rediscover was the Power Rangers, because they're on Netflix now.
Oh yeah.
That's bad. that's bad TV right there.
Is it the spandex or
everything? Everything except for the Pink Ranger was bad.
You know, even when I was a kid, I thought, really, the Black Ranger is the black guy?
Yeah, that also, you don't need to do that. There's no reason. You could
have been any other. And then obviously the Asian Ranger is yellow. Yellow. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Asian girl is the Yellow Ranger.
So bad.
So you're telling us something.
Yeah. But it was, it was tough to watch. I thought it was just tough to watch. I can't even, there's like very, very few to zero redeeming qualities in that show.
And then fire into it or?
Oh, I watched like four or five episodes because I was like, no, it's slow at the beginning. They're just finding out their powers, whatever. It did not get better, like at all. And then
Green Ranger making it? No, not that early, I don't think.
No. I think he's like 10, 12 episodes in. But I was thinking of skipping ahead, and I was like, nah, I'm okay.
Not worth it.
I used to really like the Power Rangers movie, too, with the...
Yeah, I watched the shit out of that, too.
Yeah, and I remember, I must have been 10, because I'm pretty sure we were in Florida to go to Disney World, and I just wanted to stay in the hotel room and watch that movie. And I thought about maybe giving that a try again, but I kind of don't want to ruin what it was.
Yeah, I got to keep those memories.
Yeah.
Did you ever get around to watching the remake of the movie?
No. Oh, wait a minute.
I haven't.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's probably the same reason, right? Maintain that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know it's just, it's not going to be the same characters. And it's really, Pink Ranger was where it's at. And
Kimberly.
Kimberly Jo. KJJ. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's still going on too, but it's like Power Rangers Maximum Safari Force 5 Samurai times 2.
I'm the Rainbow Ranger.
It just encompasses all of them.
All of them, yeah.
Although, shouldn't that be the White Ranger?
Black.
White has all colors. I don't remember really much about that. Like, did they have any? Like, they were in school, but did they have any school scenes?
No.
They just had the hallway.
They had hallway scenes. So the hallway was when they were talking to each other in secret, in private, but like talking in regular voices and not whispering at all.
Because if there's one thing I learned about sitcoms is that when you talk to somebody in private, make sure that you're talking in regular voice 5 feet from somebody else.
Yeah, and always talking into their little watch device. And then the other scene was the like cafeteria area and then the little gym area that was like attached to the cafeteria.
So it was the cafe gymatorium.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where they would do. Yeah, that's where. Oh, Frig, what are the two? They're two kind of bullies in high school. I forget their names, but they would always go and, you know, get milkshakes spilled on them and try and be bullies and just end up, you know, flipping over a chair or whatever the case was. It was just so bad. I can't.
They were Bulk and Skull.
Yeah, that's right. Bulk and Skull. Ugh.
Those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
Farkas Bulk Bulkheimer. Oh, sorry, Bulkbeer. And Eugene Skull Skullovich.
Of course.
Of course, right? They are usually the comic relief in the series. through an over-the-top slapstick.
Well, color me relieved that I am not watching it anymore.
Their first appearance was Day of the Dumpster, Mighty Power Rangers, and their last appearance was Samurai Forever in Power Rangers Super Samurai.
Wow. They're the new Screech and Mr. Belding.
Yeah, there's teen. They were teen and adults, both in the show, so they came back as adults on a kids program.
Wow. Well, gotta keep the money coming.
Bills to pay.
That's right.
Speaking of bills to pay, let's introduce a new segment. Well, it's new to the show, but old if you old, follow the show.
It's old hat. Old shirt. Let's
call this these teas, or what's on these tea this evening?
So as
your tea.
As some of you may know already from listening to previous podcasts or watching them on here, we have recently been in touch with a website called 80stees.com, and we've been able to hook our listeners up with a 30% discount on t-shirts. So I'm wearing one from the site right now. Sorry, audio listeners, you are not seeing me wear a t-shirt that makes me look like Raphael, the Ninja Turtle.
For a second there, I thought you were Raphael.
I can't write. Maybe if plastic straws were cleared away 10 years ago, Raphael might still be with us. But yeah, so
moment
they,
of silence for Raphael.
So they, 80s Tees, is a, it's a great nostalgic website that has, of course, t-shirts from or based on TV shows, movies, just stuff that happened around the 80s. But it's not just TVs. Sorry, it's not just tees. They have just a bunch of stuff. If you want purses and backpacks and hats and everything else. It's really great. Star Wars stuff, Karate Kid, Top Gun. And yeah, t-shirts, superheroes, video games, pretty much anything you can think of. And they also have some 90s and 2000s and stuff like that too. So it's not just 80s tees. But if you go to 80stees.com and pick out a few shirts or hats or whatever you'd like, and in the coupon code area, you can type in opencaller30 and get 30% off. So get on that. Get some discounted tees.
Yeah. That was V's Tees for this week.
V's Tees.
Sponsored by 80stees.com. 80stees.com. Celebrate your inner 80s kids with the raddest retro t-shirts and pop culture gear.
It is a pretty great site. It's highly recommended. Absolutely.
Highly recommend. All right. So I want to bring up this as our, I guess, probably our main topic of discussion this evening. This past Monday, Tuesday, or was it Monday, Tuesday, I think it was, we were, we bore witness to the MLB All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby.
Right.
So it was
Bryce Harper
won the Home Run Derby. And on Tuesday, the game, I think it set like the highest scoring All-Star Game. I think it was almost, 30 runs total or something like that?
Yeah, it was insane. I can't remember the score, but it was crazy. But
I guess the question is, it's still an All-Star Game? Like, yeah. Are we over All-Star games?
I was actually talking to Emily about this weekend, about why I like the MLB All-Star game more than I like any other All-Star games. And it's because it has it has dingers, but it has consequences kind of thing, right? Are they still doing that? I assume they are, where the winning league gets home field advantage for the World Series.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because it makes you can still have the dingers, you can still have the high scoring games, all that kind of stuff, but you're playing for something, so you're still playing baseball. Whereas when you watch basketball and the score ends up being like 160 to 140 something, like it's not a real game. There's no defense at all. There's no, it's just it's dunks and three-pointers, which is the basketball equivalent to dingers, right? For hockey, same sort of deal. Like, there's no defense. Everyone's just going in and doing trick goals and all that kind of stuff. It sucks for the goalies because they're not expected to save anything, but they still are there. They're trying to do their job, but they can't because their defense is doing nothing. But there's no consequence to the game, right? So it's for show. And then the past, I don't know how many years of the NHL All-Star Game where players don't want to go for fear of getting injured. And like, that sucks too. You're, you know, you want your best players on display at this thing. And I think that's where the MLB gets it right. I'm still not sure. Are they still doing like the stupid fan voting situation? Because I think that's like, that's just the worst.
Well, I think it's, or excuse like, me, like any other sport, it's the starters that get voted in. The rest are all appointed.
Right.
But I'm with you to a sense on all that. But like I was listening to folks talk about it, but similar to what the problems you have with the NHL All-Star Game is you have folks who don't want to go because of fear of injury. A lot of guys don't want to partake in the home run derby because they fear of going cold after. Like there's a lot of folks, I guess, who are on streaks, and then they, you know, they basically just they hit themselves out of for the rest of the year by hitting so many home runs during that. So like you're not getting the big stars. I think they get the biggest star being Bryce Harper, obviously was, and he's the one that won, right?
Well, he was also a huge star because they were playing at his home field, right? So that also, like, there's no way he wasn't going to be.
Yeah, like, and they're saying the same argument is with the NBA, with their All-Star Game, the dunk competition, is that you don't get the stars wanting to do that anymore.
No.
Like, you don't have the Vince Carter or the Dwight Howards doing it. You have the young guys where, you know, we've all seen it and it's all been done before.
Yeah.
And they try to spice it up as much as they can, and again, no one really cares.
Like, everything's a 50 now, even when it's not. It's really ridiculous. I did see one thing on for the Home Run Derby. So I don't know if it was new this year or for the last, like, I didn't really watch it last year. But so it was a timed thing, not the amount of pitches. Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
That's recent, I'm sure. And then if you hit two home runs over 440 meters, you got an extra 30 seconds at the end of your time to rack up a few more dingers. So that's what Bryce Harper did in the final. In the final round, he was way behind, got his extra 30 seconds or whatever. But the last like minute of his run, he hit, I forget, something like 10 home runs or something. But then a bunch of people were screaming foul because apparently the rule is, so his dad was pitching for him, and the rule is the pitcher cannot pitch the next or throw the next pitch until the ball from the last hit lands.
Okay.
And so I guess what his dad was doing was just like pitching it. He was, as soon as he hit it, Bryce Harper was like back ready to go, and then he was getting pitched to again, and that allowed him to make up a bunch of time, and that's what got him to, you know, 19 home runs or whatever he needed to win. And so a bunch of people were like complaining about that, I guess. I watched the final round and I thought it was exciting because he was down by a bunch. And then the last bit was just like swing after swing was just like crazy long balls. But yeah, I was, you know, I didn't know the rules. So I didn't know that was a thing. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe he came back from being, you know, 12 home runs down to hit 13 home runs in the next, you know, minute or whatever. But I guess the only reason he was able to do that was because his dad was throwing them before he was supposed to. So like that's a whole other thing. I don't think it's going to turn into, you know, I don't think it's going to turn into. Yeah, exactly. I think it's more fans just being fans about it, or not fans of, what is that? Not fans of Bryce Harper are the ones obviously screaming foul. Everyone else is like, hey, hometown hero, he did it.
His dad was jacked. You see his dad?
Yeah, insane. I was like, who is this guy? Doesn't even look like him.
No, he was huge. He thought he was like a pro wrestler or something.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a fun one to watch. I find the home run competition one of the more fun of the All-Star festivities. Like I still like watching the slam dunk competition, but it's, you know, like you said, it's all things we've done or we've seen before, and it's tough to really like until someone's dunking with their feet or something, you know, like that's, they're getting marginally better, if better at all. And then the All-Star competition's fun, but I'm meh on it.
Well, the Pro Bowl.
I don't watch football, so I've never even.
I was thinking, like, maybe they do it right because they do it at the end of the year, so no one really cares. It's in Hawaii, it's in the same spot all the time. People can just throw it on TV if they want to watch it, or.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you always have to have host cities and make a big deal of All-Star Weekend.
And then make a big deal of people not going. But yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think that happens more often than not, is there's more of a big deal of who's not going than the event itself.
And it's never like middle of the season, right? It's always like, you know, the second half of the season when people are starting to make playoff pushes and stuff like that. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously you're not going to want to injure yourself with 2 months left in the season when you're like on the border and trying to win a playoff spot. You'd rather save yourself, even if it's one game, you'd rather save that one game for a regular season one that actually means something.
It seems like baseball is probably the easiest sport to do that with, because you know, there's no contact.
No, exactly.
So you just stand out and left, deep left for some deep people. Left. Just wait to see if a ball comes your way. But yeah, and the
No, I was just gonna say, and then just don't catch it.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, because with the way they have the All-Star game set it now for hockey, it's you can't really make it worth anything because it's by division.
Yeah.
It's the gimmicky 3-on-3, which I guess some people like.
I don't
care.
Yeah, I'm not for it unless I'm playing like video game 3-on-3. I don't like
that's it. Where it's
at. Yeah, that's right.
Well, like we said about esports, so at some point that probably will what it will be. It'll be also 3-on-3, just 3-on-3, just people, three guys sitting there with the controllers. When's my turn?
Because
he only plays you guys.
Pass it.
Okay, so I got some news articles here.
Before we move on, do you want to touch on the Toronto Spurs trade?
Yeah, that was going to be one of my articles. So, DeMar DeRozan traded to San Antonio along with Jakob Poeltl and a protected first-round draft pick for Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green.
I hate it.
I think Sportsnet had a poll. I saw it was 6,000 votes. It was 50-50.
How? Like, I hate this trade so much.
Hate so much about this trade chooses to be.
Exactly. And then it got even worse. Like, I originally hated the trade. Like, I like Kawhi Leonard, too. I think he's a great player.
You say he's, like what, top five at least in the league?
Yeah, oh, no.
In terms of player?
He's a great player. He's just an excellent all-around player. Great defensively, great offensively. He's really good. I just hate that...
He's an asshole. But
DeMar DeRozan has been the face of Toronto for a long time, right?
Pretty much since Carter was gone.
Exactly. And like he has said over and over and over how much he loves being in Toronto, how much he wants to be the guy to take Toronto somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I guess what the morning that the trade became official, he shot out a Instagram story. And it was basically like, you know, they tell you that you're not going anywhere and then they trade you. Like they told him, yeah, you're set. You're safe here. You know, mm-hmm. we want to roll with you and we want to do this with you. And then to trade him away is brutal. And then on top of all of that, reports came out like the next day being, you know, where Kawhi Leonard was like, yeah, like I don't have a lot of interest playing in Toronto.
Yeah.
No. So then you're really... Like you're getting a better player for sure, except who only played I think 16 games last year, something 13 like that, or 16 yeah. games, because of an injury. So you're just kind of banking on him, like bouncing back and being the same player he was 2 years ago, which will probably happen. That's fine, but you're trading away someone who like really, really, really wants to be there, and really, really like puts everything into it. for someone who apparently has no interest being there and who you're not even sure like what you're really getting. I hate it. I don't like it at all.
So do you hate it?
I kind of hate it, like, okay. A lot.
Yeah, so you're gambling on a guy who's just coming off essentially a full season due to injury. Because of his attitude when he came back, he was not allowed to play during the playoffs. You knowingly took a guy who wanted to be here, who is just, second year into a new extension with DeRozan.
And has the entire Toronto fan base behind him.
Yeah. So you have that. You come off your franchise's best performance in terms of regular season, setting a record. Okay, playoffs, one thing. Lost to LeBron. LeBron's gone now.
Yeah.
So there's that. You fire your coach of the year.
It's like a very, very few good things to say about Toronto's offseason.
Yeah, the flip side, you could say, if you want to compare the two in terms of defense, Kawhi's a lot better. DeRozan was one of the worst defensive players this year in the league.
Yeah.
But again, at the same time, he wanted to be here.
And you know,
he's a guy who doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Best case scenario is he signs a contract. Medium case scenario is he plays and then is gone. And then you got a big hole to fill again. And worst case, he's not going to sit out the year. He's going to lose $80 million, but still. You just disrupt your whole room, though. Especially if you have a guy who does not want to be in that room.
Yeah, he has 1 year left on his contract. So,
He's going to, if he does want to stay, he's playing to play somewhere else.
Exactly. Which, might help out the team. But I feel like the only way he stays is if they win and he thinks they can win again. But, you got the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Lakers in the West. Like, one of those three teams is winning. It doesn't matter who comes out of the East.
Yeah, it's either going to be Golden State, or I think Golden State.
Yeah, and it's, okay, fine. They finally cross that hump of getting past the third round and getting into the finals, but then they're still facing a team that they won't have a chance of beating. So it's if he's gone, then you just gave away your franchise player for
nothing.
Someone who's here for a year, and then what are you gonna get for him?
And a draft pick. First round draft pick, and it's protected. So if they finish, if they're last,
it's
20. So it's like 20th. If it's picked between 1 and 20th, they keep it. And then San Antonio gets 2 second rounders. If they finish 20, it's the 21st or whatever pick, then San Antonio.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out, but as of right now.
DeMar, you can't get past LeBron with Toronto. And now you're going to play in a conference with him in Golden State.
Yeah, he's going to be like, come on, guys.
Oh, okay. Keep it with the sports theme here and related to.
Apparently,
I
was saying I read a thing earlier that there's a summer league thing going on in a few weeks. Yeah, where Popovich is the coach and DeRozan and Kawhi Leonard are going to be there as players. So that should be fun. Everyone's like, yeah, Kawhi's not showing up for that.
No, why would you?
Exactly.
All right, so next little bit here. So again, related to what we just talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago. So Serena Williams lost the Wimbledon final in what was probably one of her most lopsided defeats in her career. Lost to the 11th ranked Angelique Kerber in straight sets, 6-3 and 6-3. Again, this is someone we complained about or was complaining about her seeding, made it to the final.
Yeah.
What was the problem?
Oh, I think the problem was just her airtime. Not airtime, but like we talked about, it was just if you're not in the top kind of 5 or 10, you're not playing the night matches on center court.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, it's tough because those ones have almost a guaranteed, like, set time where it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the day ones are, it's like, all right, well, when this match finishes, this one's going to start. And, you know, because of that, I don't know, I think she had mostly like primetime games anyway. And even if she wasn't playing on center court, there was cameras where she was playing and they obviously showed her matches over whatever else was happening. But I'm sure that was like, yeah, just like we said too, it's like, she's not going to have an issue getting to the finals or even getting the win had she won. It was just, you know, it was just that her
wasn't as easy for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Except that it really was.
Yeah. I know. On paper, it seemed like it wasn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's when you're that good, it
doesn't matter who you're playing. Yeah. I think for her, it was more just being used to playing center court at a set time, like a specific time, because I don't think she's not played like, you know, evening matches or whatever, ever.
Yeah.
Like ever, even when she started, they were like, yeah, this girl's going to be awesome. Her loss was pretty surprising. I didn't get to watch that one. I was still bitter that Federer had lost, just before the semis. That was a tough one to watch. There was a lot of more fun stories, I guess, on the men's side. There was one match, I think it was Isner and Anderson had like a 7-hour long marathon because at Wimbledon, there's no tiebreak for the fifth set. So you just have to win by two.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And they racked it up and it just took forever. And then that person had to play Djokovic in the finals and it was Anderson and Anderson got smoked, Mr. Anderson. But like, you know, that was a fun story. The guy who beat Federer, like he came back crazy hard. Federer, I think, was 1 point away from winning the match in straight sets. And, you know, the guy got his serve back and just kind of came back and then won a bunch in a row. And then Federer was having a bunch of issues with the crowd and with the refs and stuff, but then he still came out on top. So the guy's side was a lot more fun to watch and hear about. But again, that kind of goes back to, you just assume that Serena Williams is going to plow through everyone. So it's less of a surprise, I guess.
Yeah, I would have been more surprised if she didn't make the final, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if she didn't make the finals, that would have been very surprising, I think.
And another surprising news. So Ray Emery passed away on Sunday.
That's crazy.
Drowning in Hamilton. He was 35. When I first saw it, I thought it was a joke.
Usually
on Twitter, anyone dying is usually fake. And the source at the time, I think, was sportingnews.ca. No offense to them, but I didn't think that was a real site. I've never heard of it before. I think it's like a TSN ripoff.
Sports. Yeah, exactly. News. That was...
I haven't heard any follow-up about a post-mortem or anything, but I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what happened, but yeah, shocking nevertheless.
The things I read was he was just out on a boat with some friends. They went swimming. Everyone came up, and he didn't. And, you know, that's, I think that's all the information they're still at right now. But just crazy. Like, I don't know. This is the first I've heard of Ray Emery in probably 3-4 years. Yeah, I think the last time he was kind of in the news was when he punched his coach or assistant coach or something.
Or fiance.
Or something, you know, just someone. That guy's always punching people.
Oh, old punchy.
but that's just crazy.
Yeah, he'll forever be known around here with his white Hummer, his orange Lamborghini, and
his helmet.
His helmet with Rocky on it when he was in Philly. He had Mike Tyson when he was here. After he came starter.
Yeah.
I think it was Ali before that.
And then that's right. And then his
fight he also had Rocky on it when he was in Philly.
And then his fight with what's his name there? Tucker?
Biron. He fought with Biron. That was the big Oli fight that happened.
Yeah.
I think he fought with Bregratton in practice.
Didn't he fight with a player though? Was it Tucker? Someone on the Leafs.
I think so. It's usually Tucker.
Yeah, it's usually Tucker. There's one picture. I think it was the Marty Brown fight where the picture is just him with like just the biggest smile on his face. He's just so happy that he finally gets to get into a fight. I love that picture of him.
And I think I'll remember most having to make sure that the right girl got the right tickets when he was at the box office. the one that was supposed to be in the 100 level got the 200 level. Whew, look out.
He's coming for you.
Security to the box office, please.
Yeah.
Then obviously he got his cup with the Blackhawks.
Yeah. I'm glad he did. It would have been nice for him to win the one when he was with Ottawa. But they couldn't do it.
We'll do a quick. I was going to introduce this with Ryan, but I'll do it now just because we're talking about that. Win, place, show. So best, second, third. Last 25 years, Canadian franchise. I would say in the last 25 years, just based on performance. I know Montreal won a cup in 93, but I'd say it's got to be Ottawa. Montreal give his place for. The cup win, and then I'd say Vancouver's those three franchise last 25 years.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Just the stuff that Ottawa did in the, you know, mid 2000s to like even early from 2003 to 2013 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like they were good. They won President's Cups. They won Eastern Conference championships. They, you know, were a few games away from winning the cup. They had a bunch of, you know, crazy good players, crazy good lineups. You know,
I think it was like 12 seasons in a row playoff appearances. And like, even then,
that was 98 to 2000 or something.
This coming year, but like, even then, like, Spezza, Alfredson, and Fisher, like, who were they during those runs, right?
Yeah. It sucked because they never really got to have a few bad years to rebuild, right? Their rebuild years were always followed up by, you know, a pretty good cup run, and then everyone's like, all right, they're back, we're gonna win it this year, and then it would go down. It was just like up and down for so long. Whereas a team like Toronto has, you know, they're going to be very good. They've had a lot of good pickups and a lot of good picks, and, you know, have been able to build a better and better team every year for the last 5 years. Whereas Ottawa has been like, all right, we made the playoffs, but we lost. Okay, now we didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, we didn't get a good enough pick to... Or we didn't finish badly enough to get a good pick. And then the next year, they make the playoffs but don't do well. So then they get another kind of low-end first-round pick. Or they trade away their first-round pick just to try and make the playoffs. And it's like, well, is that really worth it? unless you're winning the cup.
Historically have drafted well. They just unfortunately... In some instances, like a dig, doesn't work out here.
Yeah,
or Yashin, but you get like gems like, you know, Phillips, or you get late picks like Alfredson. Even was Carlson? I don't think he was a top 10. Maybe he's like 15th.
No, he was or like 13 or something. Yeah, like first top half at least.
And then you have Montreal, where again, you know, they won the Cup in 93, constantly making the playoffs, not making the playoffs for a couple of years. And now, I guess kind of all three are in the same boat, even Vancouver too, right?
Yeah, well, Vancouver, it was, you know, they're the main reason, like, you know, I'm a Canucks fan for sure, and I love the Ottawa-Vancouver game that gets played here because I get to see my two favorite teams. Now it's kind of less so because the players that I really liked on the Canucks were the Sedins and Luongo. And I mean, how can you not like them? You know, they're great ambassadors for the game. They're fun to watch on the ice. The Sedins are pretty low key off the ice, but Luongo's just hilarious off the ice. And, you know, they're the ones I wanted to see. And then once Luongo left, once the Sedins retired, I was kind of like, well, who am I really watching, you know? And before, I'd never had an issue staying up for their, you know, 10 p.m. game starts and staying up till 1 o'clock to watch their games. But now I'm like, well, it's not really worth it. When they had all three, like, they were excellent. And then early on when they had Pavel Bure, Trevor Linden, like, they were good teams. They just never kind of made it.
No, they're always the bridesmaid.
But yeah, I would agree with those three picks for sure. Like, Ottawa's definitely had the best past 20 years, 25 years. Definitely not the last 5 years.
But it was more up and down the last,
But I mean, you can't deny that they were a great team for the last, for 95 to 2015.
Definitely not 95.
Yeah.
Or no, that was 92, 93, I think it was. Yeah. But
that was for sure. But like, yeah. Not 98 to 2012, 2013 area.
Yeah.
You know, they were just getting better and better and better. They peaked obviously in 07 and then started to go down again, but they were never like out until recently.
Yeah, I think the problem with, you know, with the realignment, East got a little bit harder with, you know, the extra two teams, and
yeah,
I'll see what happens here. How are we doing for time? All right,
we're at 41.
All right, we just save some sports stuff for next time. Let's go quickly into some of the entertainment things. Comic-Con started today,
officially. Yes.
Anything you're looking forward, I'd say, to see, but we're not there, so read about.
Well, I saw that Marvel tweeted out a picture of the X-Men logo, and I got really excited, but I don't think it actually...
realized it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Fox's Marvel.
Yeah, I was like, oh, come on. But I did see that Comcast is stepping away.
I was just going to say, year's Comic-Con, look at it.
There's going to be some great things. And then I saw that, I don't know if this was, it's not, I don't think it was at Comic-Con or anything, but PlayStation is releasing a Spider-Man themed PS4 alongside the game.
So yeah, just, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a PS4 Pro red and black Spider-Man logo on the... Oh, no, red with a white Spider-Man logo, I think, with a red controller with white buttons. It looks amazing. I really want it. I can't. Obviously, I'm not going to be getting it, but I think I will be getting the game. I think it drops September... Early September. Yes.
September-ish.
Seventh or something.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be a nice anniversary present for you. Ashley, if you're listening. what are we? We're 6 years? 8 years?
8 years.
8 years. That's the Spider-Man anniversary, yeah, right? the Spider-versary.
Yeah, first is paper and eight is Spidey.
Exactly.
I'm curious about, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, DC's doing their own streaming service.
Yes.
$8 a month. They dropped the first, Yeah, hold on. Yeah. They dropped the first trailer for Titans. I don't know if you saw that today.
I didn't see it, but I read that that Robin is pretty dark and brooding.
He says F Batman right there in the trailer. the trailer didn't sell me, but I'm still curious. Yeah, there's. But the thing with the DC's universe is it's subscription for both TV or shows and also their comics.
Oh, okay.
So, and I guess whatever else they're working on, because then you also get their past properties, I think, like the Batman animated series and I think the CW shows or whatnot.
Ooh, the CW shows would be a nice addition because they're
supposed to explain more about that as they I guess obviously at the event itself, but we'll see. Yeah, not too much, I think, in the way of, now that, you know, Marvel Studios is not really there. I guess the, as you talked about before, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
That might be, I think, the only thing worth, because I don't care about Venom.
No, I'm sure we're going to see it, but
it might not be opening day.
No.
You're not even opening weekend.
I would say
a Tuesday.
The Tuesday after or a couple of Tuesdays after. I haven't really had a lot of time to check on it, but I probably will keep up with it more now. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess, you know, wait for the surprises. I think that's really the only thing to do for it.
Exactly.
I think there's no Star Wars, no Marvel Studios.
We'll see. It's how long does it go until?
Sunday.
Sunday. So yeah, Sunday.
That's right. Or Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. speaking of the Marvel thing, did you ever get a chance to see Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I did. It was. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was, very all the things that I liked about Ant-Man 1, I really liked about Ant-Man 2.
You could have watched the first one twice, and it would have been the same.
It would have been, yes, very similar. The one thing I'd say I didn't love about this movie was how haphazardly they were shrinking and making things bigger. You know, like, just throwing things to make them big, throwing things like being small, all that, like it was kind of too much and too convenient, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was, they never missed.
It's like Batman and his batarangs. How many do they have, those
discs? Yeah, exactly. And like, how does one of them not just kind of go off accidentally while they're getting punched or something? I will say one thing. Spoiler alert, I guess, or could not say it.
I'll just say this. Ant-Man had a historic second Friday drop
in the
box office, so people who saw it have already seen it. So.
Exactly. Okay, so I want to say that first, mid-credit scene.
Yeah,
was amazing. I think it was one of the best mid-credits that I've ever seen.
Because there's stakes in those.
Yeah, just when it happened, it like actually surprised me because I didn't go and get spoiled on it before. But that was huge. I full out audibly gasped when it happened, and it just made me so excited for Avengers 4. Like, I
figured out what's gonna happen.
Yeah. But like, that hasn't happened. I don't think I've had an audible gasp moment like that since, all right, well, I guess it wasn't that far, that long ago, but
May when Thanos
Vulture's reveal in Homecoming, and then before that I really can't remember when I was like, holy shit, that just happened.
When he's in the car and pieces it together.
When he goes to Liz's.
Another reveal.
I can't believe that happened. But with this movie, I can't believe that. Like, it just got me so excited for. I was already excited for Avengers 4, And then that just made it it's so much more. And I thought it was a very good reveal, or very good, reveal, yeah. or, you know, continuation of whatever it was. It was incredible. The rest of the movie, yeah, just it's Ant-Man, you know, 1.5. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a Marvel movie not being like, you know, full stakes, end of the world situation every single time. See, this one's nice. It's light. It's fun. Yeah. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I didn't mind either. And yeah, it was a very serviceable sequel for their telling of, you know, Scott Lang's story.
Yeah.
I, on the hand, I'm on the opposite ends. I think after Infinity War and knowing how long we have to wait for the next one, I guess I like my stakes with, you know, with meatier the than, yeah, put some meat on those T-bones.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I guess, you know, it's nice to have the lighter tone versus the dark Infinity War, but I like dark. Like, that's why we're friends.
Yeah, that's right.
yeah. So yeah, no, it was a nice movie. I think I
like that.
But the beats were the same too. Like, you had Michael Pena doing his, you know, fast talking.
Amazing. I thought that was, I was kind of hoping there would be more of
those. Harrison's business.
I think there was two or three in the first one, and just the one in this one, but I really enjoyed it.
I was listening to another podcast and they said that
you listen to other podcasts?
Absolutely. Where do you think I get my stories from?
How dare you?
guy was saying that Marvel should pay him like any amount of money to have him recap the last 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, telling it just like that with all the actors that have his voiceover.
Oh, really?
He's like, if Marvel's not thinking of doing this now, they should do it. Just have him go over, like, explain every movie, but have, like, the actors act it out while his voiceover. Can you imagine the amount of money and time it would take to get everybody together just to do that?
That would be the best 4 hours ever.
the story was basically Ant-Man Second Friday dropped 75%. It's a new record for Marvel, passing Age of Ultron and Civil War. That's another Friday. They also dropped 62%. It's also the largest second weekend drop for a sequel within the Marvel Universe, passing
Iron Man 2.
It joins the same drops as the first Guardians, Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It's also along with those ones to not repeat at number one in the box office.
Yeah. They're not really hurting for stuff.
Well, it's also bleeding repeat business, because they say it may, if it's lucky, make the same box office return as the first one.
Yeah. I saw that it might tie.
May not have Ant-Man and the Wasp and the Mosquito. I don't know. Ant-Man and the Wasps. Or maybe there isn't one. Okay. Well, I got other things. Nothing's. We can save that for another day, since we ran a little bit longer than I thought we would, to be honest with you, which is good.
It's all right.
Okay. So I will wind it down with a feel good story here titled Judge orders dangerous pit bull to spend summer in the Hamptons. Yeah.
All right.
Think of this one. A Manhattan judge has ordered a dangerous dog, in quotes, living in a Chelsea condo to summer in the Hamptons until a case filed by the owner of a Havanese, which is a breed type of a Bichon, who was attacked by the pit bull, can have a full hearing in court. So going upstate until your court date.
That's standard.
Yeah, right. The judge said Luna, the dog at issue, will remain in the Hamptons through September 12th. Justice Joan Madden ruled last Tuesday, because it got last week, noting that during that week before and after, Luna must be muzzled on the block of West 18th Street between 9th and 10th Avenues. A hearing set for September 18th will determine if Luna meets the legal definition of a dangerous dog, which would require the pit bull to be permanently Pitbull to permanently wear a muzzle and could mean she could be put down if she bites another pet or person.
What?
Vivian Liu, who lives in Luna's Chelsea condo with her 8-pound Havanese Kinji, sued last week to have Luna declared dangerous after the hulking Pitbull savaged her purse-sized pup last year. After the attack, which was caught on video, Luna continued to lunge and snarl at Kinji, the suit says. The judge met with the lawyers in court and worked out the creative settlement that keeps the two dogs apart by sending Luna to her owner's summer home. So this dog is pampered, but she's still a bitch. No pun intended.
Kind of.
We volunteered since we're spending the summer in the Hamptons anyway to keep the dog there. Oh, that's convenient. There's been no other bites, no other contact with people or dogs since the June 17th dog fight. We have no intention of backing down. This is the lawyer for Kinji. Nothing about this is vengeful. It is simply they cannot control the dog. If there's an incident out in the Hamptons, they will pick her up, they will seize her, and they will hold her, and they will seek an order of destruction.
Wow.
Rosenthal said, noting that the Long Island has stricter regulations on aggressive dogs than New York City. The suit marks the first time an owner has gone to court in New York to get a canine labeled dangerous instead of the usual route of asking the health department to make such a declaration. Liu, had gone to the department to complain about Luna, but got no response. The health department spokesperson said, no comment. Yeah, dog bites another dog and gets to go spend the summer in her summer home, which she was doing anyway.
I gotta start biting dogs.
Right? You could go to the Hamptons, you get a nice restraining order put on you.
The muzzle.
If you bite somebody else, you get destroyed.
And it's totally worth a summer in the Hamptons.
Well, doesn't it just sound worse? Other than say, like, you know, dogs euthanized or put down, they have to say destroyed.
Yeah.
That just sounds not nice.
Not nice. Did you hear about there was a moose on the highway?
And the moose was on the loose?
The moose was on the loose.
Speaking of destroyed.
Yeah, they had to euthanize the moose too.
That story, they said euthanize.
Yeah, well,
Americans like making things bigger than they actually are. That makes me think they're going to light a firework or something. Or
yeah. Like
just blow up the dog.
TNT all around it. And then be like, all right, like a building going down.
Yeah, or like an itchy and scratchy episode.
Yeah. Man. All right.
The moose is on the loose.
The moose is on the loose.
That's it.
Done. One more thing. The big reveal. Tech reveal-ish.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the science experiment.
Yes, we'll see how long it lasts. Actually, so far I'm not loving it, but it's only been a few hours.
Yeah, today's Thursday. I'm surprised this wasn't already canceled.
Yeah. So as most of our listeners know, I haven't ever used an iPhone full time as my main device, but I have now officially popped my SIM into my iPhone 10, and will be using it for the next. Well, I'm going for until the end of July. So that's 11 days, week and a half-ish. We'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. So far, it's been only okay to kind of terrible. It took me almost an hour to pair it with my smartwatch that's not an Apple product. That was a little frustrating. But it seems to be paired properly. Everything else has been working fine. I've had the phone for a while, so it's already paired up to other Bluetooth speakers and my Chromecast and all that kind of stuff. So that's fine. But I will have more thoughts on my at least a week with the iPhone next week. And we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
How do you think it's going to go?
I am going into it with an open mind that I want to get to the end of July, and I'm not going to just nitpick little things, but
just
the big things. But that's how it should be. I'm not going to I could spend days picking apart little things about it, but it's going to be issues that most people don't have anyway, or will find workarounds for. Mm-hmm. So far, just that one big thing where I couldn't, it took me almost an hour to connect it to my watch, which shouldn't have taken that long. But everything else has been working fine. I'm trying to get used to a few things, the keyboard, and the fact that it stops pairing with things after a certain time of me not leaving the app open, which is really frustrating. Which sucks because I think I'm gonna have to keep opening up the Wear OS app just to make sure it's still talking to my watch. As of right now, it's all smartwatch related issues, which again is a problem for the minority of iPhone users. Yeah, so does your Apple Watch stay connected all the time? Because it's iOS, like it's a native app, right? So
it do.
Yeah. But so that's what's up. We'll see how long it actually lasts, but I'm gonna make it to at least next Thursday, and then we'll go from there. If I have another few more days in me.
It's like a detox.
Yeah.
Checking in on you. Make sure you're breathing.
I'll still have my Android phone with me though, so I won't be too far away.
Hey, wanna hear a bad dad joke?
Yes, I do. I love bad dad jokes. I do prefer good dad jokes, but
no. They're bad because they're good, or they're good because they're bad.
Yeah, one or the other.
So, Michelle, did you hear I bought some shoes from a drug dealer?
No. Why would you do that?
I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day.
We need that.
All right, that's Open Collar for this week. Follow us socially, facebook.com/opencollarpodcast, twitter.com, instagram.com at opencollarpod. Live stream us, like some of you are doing now, youtube.com/govnc. For Michelle Sheth, this is Corey Bullish, reminding you to keep it casual.